This is the Relevant Podcast.
What is up, everybody? You are listening to the Relevant Podcast. It is episode 1020. That's right. You heard it right. 1020. My name is Jesse Carey. Cameron, who normally hosts the show, is still in Israel. So if you listen to the last episode, you'll know pretty much what you're in for this one. It's a lot of hot takes, and there's no rules, once again. While the cat's away, the mice are at play here. And introducing them today, here with me, is our good friend, Emily Brown. Emily, how's it going?
It's going good. Excited for this insane podcast.
Oh, yeah. As you should be. And joining us, as always, our good friend who just released a new single, Derek Minor. Derek, tell us about the song, man.
Yo, so I had a song called Pressure that's out. And this song is literally for everybody that likes to work out. So holla at your boy. It's going to be straight. It got my homeboy Thizzle on it. It got my man Aaron Cole on it. I produced it. I mixed it. I mastered it. And it's the beginning of something very, very special. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, just stay tuned. Follow me on Spotify, IG, all that stuff. Y'all get to get the... I thought about this. I was like, I feel like the Relevant family knows my sense of humor much better than my fans because I talk so much and we just have fun. You know what I mean? The fans are like, I bet you Derek Minor prays on a cloud in the morning and I bet you that Derek Minor is just so serious. And it's like, actually, I'm not. So I'm like, I need the Relevant fam to catch on to what we doing. You know what I'm saying? Come holler at your
boy. All right, well, let's do this. Hey, let's hear a clip. Here is a clip of Derek's new single, Pressure. I done came from a lot just to get to the top, like,
like I'm bleeding out. You look at me and see my life and know what he about. It's scary now.
You said this is for working out. Like when you were composing this one, were you thinking that that person, you know, either running or at the gym just about to get after it and you just want to make a soundtrack for him, kind of Rocky style?
No, actually, I was just talking trash, and like I just made the beat and start talking trash on it, and then I said, "Dang, this gotta get you hype." You know what I'm saying? And then I played it for my little sister. She's like, "Oh, I'm gonna put this on my workout playlist." I was like, "There we go, we nailed it. That's what we're using this for. We're using it for workouts."
We need to get a Derek Minor Peloton mix going. I don't know. My wife's super into Peloton. You know, we got it during COVID. We pulled the trigger. I feel like there are a lot of people who bought the Peloton or bought some crazy expensive, you know, overpriced piece of workout equipment during when all the gyms and stuff were shutting down. But I'll say this, that, you know, we've kept on the Peloton. I've tried it a couple times. I find it absolutely miserable. I find it basically torture. There's nothing about it I enjoy, except for the fact is a lot of these Peloton instructors who got way too peppy. I got a little take in a second. But some of them make pretty cool playlists that you can ride along to. Derek, I feel like Pressure, would you be open to getting on a Peloton mix, or is that not really the vibe you're going for?
I just want everybody to know that's listening to the Relevant Podcast right now. Put me on every playlist that exists. I don't care if it's Atheist playlist. Put me on that. It don't matter to me. Like, I want spins. To be on every... I want the spins, baby. Spin me in a circle. Like,
okay, wait, Derek, I have a question. I've heard this rumor. Can you see, like, when people add a song, like one of your songs to a playlist?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's on Spotify for sure.
Okay, because some people have very funny but very, like, oddly specific playlist names.
Yeah.
And some that are...
Yes.
And so I've heard that before, and I've always thought that it would be really funny as an artist to see, like, you get added to something so specific. Like, there's one that I really like that I found... And it's just, I think the title of it is like, feeling self-conscious about your windshield wiper. Just a very random one, but it has such a specific vibe. And I do play it when it rains when I'm driving. And I'm like, I wonder how an artist feels knowing they're on like a windshield wiper speed playlist.
Yes. I mean, I'm pulling them up right now. I got, well, look, Orange Theory Fitness Epic playlist. So
hey, there you go.
we got on one, and then I got some joints from different countries that I have no clue what's going on, but I'm just literally just, oh, and these are my favorite ones. FCA Camp Hype. So it's like you have these people that have like these youth group things, and it's like it's very specific to what's going on. So like, yeah, nah. Let's see, volleyball, 100% clean songs. Like these are just the normal playlist. But yeah, there's tons of joints all over that.
That's hilarious. Love that one because somewhere, like I'm not picturing like you're on a volleyball mix, right, Derek?
Right.
So it's probably one of two things, and I'll tell you which one I think it is. A lot of people are probably assuming it's like a high school volleyball team. And, you know, in practice, right. They got to get hyped for playing, for hitting that volleyball around. That's right. Plausible and probably likely, but that's not what I hope it is. Right. I hope this is more of a Top Gun type of situation where this is more of shirtless lunchtime beach volleyball, where it doesn't matter. You're rocking blue jeans in the 100-degree heat. You're getting oiled up. You're out there with your buds and you're going to be playing some volleyball. Okay, Top Gun style volleyball. I'm talking, you know, just a lot of high fives, a lot of, you know, slaps on the bottom after a good spike. That's the type of volleyball I'm picturing. Again, who knows what the mix is? I'm just saying it's a volleyball mix. I'm hoping a Top Gun one.
Here's another one. Here's some more. I got a couple more. Hold on. Get Jiggy With It is one.
Okay.
Is rap even good? I hope that's like, I'm kind of sad that I'm on that playlist because I'm like, dang.
Maybe that's saying it's good. This is the good rap.
Yeah.
Then this one is Jesus Music with a Z in it, but it rattles your car, you feel, and a question mark.
That one feels so, a little sacrilegious, but it's okay. Let's keep going.
Yeah, it's wild. Yeah, they got some wild playlists on here.
Well, I should let people know we have an incredible show. In addition to hearing a preview of Derek's latest single, we also have Kirby and Ryan from House Fires coming up, and we're going to play some table topics. Before we get to slices, I just want to say one thing to any aspiring Peloton instructors out there. All of them are the same. They try to get you hyped up. They're in great moods. I want a Peloton instructor that mirrors my mood when I'm like, all right, everyone, oh gosh, we're going to do this again. This is going to suck and be terrible. And you're probably woke up early. And when I wake up early, I feel nauseous. I'm not going to lie. This ride is going to be terrible. And I'm going to be a grumpy jerk the whole time because that's how I feel as a rider. I just want one grumpy Peloton instructor just telling you like it is. All right, everyone, this is going to feel great. Well, you're going to have a great day. No, this is going to suck. And you're going to be sore all day. And you're going to wish you weren't doing it about 5 minutes into this thing. It's just a little advice for aspiring Peloton instructors.
Riding a bike, is that intense, bro? It's like that? Dude,
well, they crank up the resistance, man.
It's more than riding a bike.
It really is. Okay. I mean, you would think.
It's not just like a leisurely stroll.
Yeah. It is a form of torture. I mean, it is absolutely painful. But again, just acknowledge it. Don't act like it's fun because it's terrible. You know? Like, it should, the instructor's mood should reflect the intensity of the workout, which is just awful. It is just awful. But hey, I'm just some advice anyway out there. All right, that's enough of me ranting about how annoying Peloton instructors are. Next up, slices. Listening to Bad Sons, the song is Peachy. I'm not saying that as an adjective. I'm saying the song is literally called Peachy. Though it is peachy.
The wait is officially over. Ann Wilson's newest album, Rebel, is out now. Following up on her Grammy-nominated debut album, My Jesus, her sophomore project is jam-packed with 16 songs and features guest artists including Chris Tomlin, Lainey Wilson, and Jordan Davis. Blending her love for God with her roots in all things country, Ann is a true rebel in modern music. Be sure to check out Ann Wilson's newest album, Rebel, available now everywhere you listen to music.
All right, it's time for
slices.
Usually I go first, but Emily, I'm going to kick it off. I'm going to kick it over to you. What do you got for us today?
Okay. I want to talk about one Rainn Wilson. Everyone knows him as Dwight Schrute from The Office, but his official name is Rainn Wilson, although he has now said that he has decided to change his name to bring more awareness to climate change. So he is now going by the name Rainfall Heat Wave Extreme Winter Wilson.
Yeah, run that back.
I'll say that one more time. Rainfall Heat Wave Extreme Winter Wilson. He's really just trying to fit as many kind of climate change disasters in it. But he announced this on a video last week. He joined with an organization called Arctic Base Camp, and they bring attention to the melting ice caps. And he pointed out that, you know, this sometimes we feel like, you know, the North and South Pole, they're so far away, it's not going to affect us. But climate change affects all of us. The whole world, like, we can't just ignore something because it's on the other side of the world. So he wanted to bring awareness to this. And, you know, he's a public figure. I love when public figures do weird, very random things to bring attention to causes. I think it's so funny. But I do think it really helps because, you know, like I said, no one's checking in on the North Pole. Well, maybe kids are checking in on the North Pole this year. But other than that, no one's really wondering what's going on there. So I think it's funny that he's doing this. He has not legally changed it, but he also said that he has considered it. So, you know, we'll see if he goes by Rainfall Heat Wave Extreme Winter Wilson.
So this isn't illegal. He's just saying, I'm going by this now. I mean, I guess it's still, I mean, it's better than throwing tomato soup on a Picasso painting or whatever, you know, people have been doing.
I feel like climate change activists always do the most random things, like, to get people's attention.
It's very weird. It's like, bro, I would want to hop on the wave with you, bro, but you just threw a can of Campbell's soup on a Van Gogh painting, and Van Gogh ain't do nothing to nobody. Like, so why?
And I'm not saying like change his name hurts. Like, I think it's, you know, I mean, we're talking about it, but at the same time, it's like, I feel like the climate change thing is something that's like, we're aware. Like, the awareness stuff.
Oh, yeah.
We're aware. This seems like a real problem. Like, maybe we should start focusing on solutions instead of just awareness of the problem. Again, it's admirable that he's willing to kind of go out there and do something kind of funny and silly to get the conversation going. But this does seem like an issue that, you know, there's an awareness of, and, you know, hopefully people, I just feel like it'd be great for people to bring awareness to solutions that are actually working, you know, you know, different types of initiatives or just practical steps that the average, or even like, you know, awareness of policies that we should be advocating for, you know, that we could vote for, or that we should, you know, or different like consumption habits that can make a difference. Again, I'm not disparaging anyone for raising awareness about the issue, but it does seem like raising awareness about solutions should be a part of it as well.
I was going to say policy issues. Definitely. I'd love to know more about what policy issues can we even vote for to help hold companies accountable, you know, because that's where the change is going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, obviously we can recycle and do a lot of personal responsibility, but it's the same thing. You know, I've been working on the We Own Now campaign about closing the wealth gap, and it always comes back to policy.
Yeah.
You know, there's only so much that personal responsibility can do. It's policy. So
thank you, Rainfall, for bringing it to our attention. And I would just encourage, you know, people, especially if you're in the climate advocacy space, to you know, kind of help continue to inform people of how we can make a difference. All right. I had a story I wanted to briefly talk about. This one, Emily, I saw on the site, relevantmagazine.com, about a new video game that is in the works called I Am Jesus Christ. And the game is exactly what it sounds like. It is basically like a role-playing simulation game where you...
Hey, hold on. Can you repeat the name of the game again?
Yo, you heard it right.
I want to make sure that some... You know, I got headphones on. Sometimes they go
out. I Am Jesus Christ. So the game is being developed by the developers Simula M, I think is how you say it, and then a company called Playway, and it's going to be released on Steam coming soon, coming in December. So by the time you hear this, depending on when you're listening, it might be out and you can go play it.
In time for Christmas? No.
Right in time for Christmas. Mm-hmm. Now, I watched the demo. I watched the demo that they have released. And one of the tech reporters at Vice actually got to play the game and kind of report back on it. Now, the demo, which, again, if you want to see it, it's over on Relevant Magazine. And it's sort of like, you know, the gameplay is sort of like first person shooter mode. Obviously, he doesn't have a firearm, but you kind of see Jesus's hands. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. you can walk around, and you know. So the idea is that you can go and sort of like perform miracles that are in the Bible. Now, according to the game review that ran in Vice, you know, when you are Jesus and you encounter someone in the Bible, for example, someone at a wedding who has run out of wine and just has a big jug of water, as you encounter this person and you can, I guess there's some sort of like Holy Spirit power you're dipping into to perform the miracle.
Y'all going to hell.
The actual Bible verse reference shows on the screen of where this miracle is in the Bible. So you could cross-reference it. Some of it they get pretty creative with. Like when you go, you heal, like there's a kid that you can heal that has a sickness and it's like a evidently some sort of virus in his blood. You actually go magic, according to the review, you go like magic school bus style as Jesus and you enter the bloodstream and you diffuse the virus. And the kid gets healed.
Bro, y'all going to hell, see, bro.
Here's the thing.
Hey, I hope they make a lot of money, bro. Because there's
a whole fishing scene. Where
it's a padlock on the gates,
here's the deal. I actually think, look, man, if it's simulating things that are in the gospel and, you know, if you're not taking too many liberties, what's the harm? Like, I feel like, hey, look, man, if people don't know some of the nuances of the story of Christ, and these are, you know, the game depicts interpretations of what the biblical accounts of what Jesus did. I'm not a gamer, so I can't really like speak to it. But like, I think, hey, man, it's another way to at least introduce people to Jesus. Derek, you're not feeling this.
No, bro. No. First off, you know I have not seen anything, Emily. So I need y'all to just give me a yes or a no to this. Jesus is white, is he not?
All you can see is on his the hands.
Game. Is they white?
Let me before I speak out of turn. Okay, Emily, I'm gonna look it up. Okay.
First of all, we know Jesus white, so you already got a strike against me. We know in this game, not in real life, but we know in this game, Jesus may be close to olive, but we know he don't have no minority hands. We know for sure he don't have minority hands. That's number one. Number two, the internet was not invented when the internet and technology wasn't where it's at when the commandments was written. But I feel like we can file this under don't make any graven images. I feel like we can file this under that. Like the digital image is very similar.
We're
to
supposed
a
to be imitators of Christ.
Yeah. You my baby, just delete everything on my screen and just get up off of this podcast.
To answer your question, it's hard to tell because okay. In most scenes his hands are glowing with power. Like his, you know, he's like, no, real talk. They're like, they're glowing. So
stop,
they could be any complexion.
Me,
I don't know. I don't know. But
stop playing.
All right, so I'm pro this game. I'm pro. Derek seems anti. Emily, be the tiebreaker. What do you think about I Am Jesus Christ?
Y'all going to hell.
I will not be playing it, but I don't know. I think it is very cheesy, probably borderline heretical.
What makes it heretical?
The magic school bus part feels a little.
We don't know how. I mean,
I have a pretty good guess. That is not how Jesus was doing it when he was alive.
I mean, we don't know how he, you know, he was Jesus. He could see. He knew exactly what the ailment was, and he cured the ailment. Sure. We don't. I'm just saying, like, what's fundamentally? Hey, what's fundamentally different about? What's fundamentally different than a video game depiction of the acts of Christ versus like a movie or a book?
Yeah, I'm watching the trailer, bro. They going to hell, bro.
I think I'm just curious, like, because it's a simulation, can it go wrong? Like, can you do something to
where... Like, can you go rogue?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. Like, can you make it to where Jesus doesn't... Because I think it goes through his, or at least to his crucifixion. Do you make the... Like, what happens if you do something different? Like, if you don't heal someone, or if you don't go to this city? Like, I just... I'm curious, how do you stay on track with the Bible? And can you go rogue? And that, when you go rogue, that's my concern, is how rogue can you go?
You have y'all played GTA 5?
I don't know about 5, but I played a lot of GTAs over the year.
So GTA 5, the thing that this is what's going to happen. Mark my word. GTA 5, you can hack the game and literally create all kind of different like little things. Like they put Freddy Krueger in the game and some more stuff. Like it's a... This is what's going to happen to this game. They're going to have Jesus doing the most, or I'm not even going to call this person Jesus. We're going to call him Jesus. They're going to have Jesus out here doing the most disrespectful stuff of all time. Like the memes that are going to arise out of this game are going to be so blasphemous and heretical. They're probably going to be funny too, but...
This does have good meme potential.
I'm just... Yeah, definitely. Big meme potential.
There's certainly meme potential. But I also think, again, and we can move on after this, but, you know, I think, look, God has pretty thick skin and he's got a sense of humor. Like, I think, you know, I don't think he's getting too upset about people making, you know, funny memes out of a video game based on his life compared to, you know... people manipulating his name for like political power or to, you know, steal money from people. Like,
right.
I think on the spectrum, I think it's better to have stuff that keeps Jesus in the pop cultural zeitgeist, even if it's a video game or a meme. I think it's better that he's out there and part of our kind of collective consciousness than it being too, I'm saying us, not people on this podcast. I'm saying culturally too precious about even mentioning his name. Because like I said, I'd rather him be a part of the conversation than be not present in pop culture. But
You said Jesus said all press is good press, huh?
Ain't hurting. I don't see it hurting. He's pretty well known. He's got a lot of press.
All right, we gonna see.
Oh, before we get in trouble, Derek, what do you got?
I just don't want... I don't want my Xbox to catch on fire, so I'm not playing this. Y'all got it, though. But I'm not playing it. But Jerry Springer. So for those of you that didn't grow up as a millennial like I did and didn't get exposed to some of the most ratchet things on the planet during the daytime, I mean, Jerry Springer literally had anything you could think of. It was the biggest freak show on television, and it was on primetime television. He has apologized for saying he says he thinks he corrupted the culture. And my response to that is, you think? Like, dog, like literally Twitter is Jerry Springer. Like, that's what social media is, Jerry Springer. Like, so for those of you that didn't get to watch the show, imagine like what you see on social media, but in real time. So rather than someone taking a clip of a fight because somebody found out somebody cheated on somebody, you would just watch it on television, or you would go to the show and watch it in real time where people would just beat each other up. And you'd have like, it got so crazy that even the bodyguard got his own show
off of
Jerry Springer. Like it was such a phenomenon. So after he's made all of his money and in a point of him thinking, probably after spending his $100 millionth, he's like, you know what? I think I might have messed up the culture a little bit. So better late than never, Mr. Jeremiah Springer. Very late, better late than never. You know, but thank you for at least apologizing. Yeah,
there's probably some think piece in there out, you know, waiting to be written about how the rise of the Jerry Springer Show, which to your point, Derek, you know, really sensationalized, you know, just immoral behavior and really kind of, you know, encourage people to behave in ways that, you know, I mean, look, we're just objectively offensive, right? Like, you know, people fighting each other, accusing each other of infidelity, just you know, terrible stuff. I don't know if it was the linchpin for sort of, you know, the not even just what we see in social media, but even just the era of reality TV where watching housewives mm-hmm. throw mimosas in each other's mm-hmm. faces is like, you know, passes for primetime entertainment. I don't know. It's interesting that Jerry Springer kind of has put himself into the conversation that the show might've been a linchpin, but at least to your point, he's acknowledged it. And, you know, hopefully, you know, that era we're kind of slowly moving away from, but
they just made a video game of Jesus. We ain't going nowhere but the opposite direction.
Yeah, exactly. Do something productive with your time, people. Do something productive. We don't need another Jersey Shore reunion, okay? You know, No More Love Is Blind or whatever shows you're watching.
Ooh, we might play that Jesus game.
play that Jesus game. No, Love Is Blind, too stressful, man. I'm not a fan. Cole and Zay, man. What drama? All right. Well, that is it for this week's Slices. Be sure to head over to relevantmagazine.com. You can check out more. There's tons of news stories like this every day. All right. Next up, House Fires joins us. I like to hide in the bathroom, parties, yeah. Drunk people make me nervous, I'm sorry, yeah. Well, I just wanna be out, but I don't wanna be out, so I like to hide in the bathroom, parties, yeah. The same since graduation, being social makes me shy, makes my heart have palpitations, but I still want the invite, so that I You're listening to Winnetka Bowling League. The song is I Like to Hide in the Bathroom at Parties.
Well, today's show is brought to you in part by Crown College, a boldly Christian and academically excellent college providing a lifelong, authentic community. Crown offers on-campus, online, and graduate programs, 18 NCAA Division III sports, international service opportunities, and a vibrant student life. Discover why Crown College is ranked top 3 in America for online Christian education. Visit crown.edu today.
All right, our guests today are Kirby Capel and Ryan Ellis from House Fires. The Worship Collective has been releasing some great new music recently, and they're gearing up to release a brand new album next year. They recently sat down with Emily to discuss how they see worship changing, why they have hope that the church is moving in a more authentic direction, and why it's important for worship to not all sound the same. Amen to that, House Fires. I'm not calling anybody out. I'm just saying I like that. That's a talking point, that they're trying to diversify the sound a little. Here is part of our conversation with Ryan and Kirby from House Fires. Only Jesus, all my days,
no greater treasure. Just released Only Jesus, which is so beautiful. It's absolutely been on repeat, at least for my Spotify. So why is that a message that y'all wanted to put out right now?
Well, it was kind of written in a way of like, we were at a camp and we were just kind of talking about all the noise going on just in life. And we were just like, hey, let's write the song that we need. And we all kind of needed that declaration of, you know, it's just gotta be Jesus for me. At the end of the day, you can try, you know, subconsciously try different ways of life and control and whatever. And, but like, it has to be Jesus. Like nothing makes sense without it. And, without him and that direction, that aim. And I think somebody even in the right, I forget who it was, but was talking about just the idea of a compass and, you know, we need more songs that direct us to this thing, to this person, the person of Jesus, that everything else just kind of comes together and falls into place once you just have that aim. Kind of like when you're driving, I think somebody even said when you're driving, you don't look at the lines on the road. You like kind of look kind of ahead as far as you can see on the road, and you stay in the lines. And so the song kind of feels that way. It's just like, this is the direction of my life. It's Jesus for me. There's no turning back, and things can go awry. Things can do whatever in life. Anything can happen, but this is only Jesus for me. So that was kind of all of our sentiment. And it felt like this song that we needed. Yeah.
What are some ways that we can make sure that we are only focused on Jesus or setting our eyes on Jesus?
You know, like, we all have an idea of, like, oh, God is faithful, or like with me with music, Kirby with music, with friends, with family. You have to have a narrative of what God is saying over your situation so that you can know what to be reminded of. That's how you keep your eyes on Jesus. You keep your eyes on Jesus as a man, but then you also keep Jesus as, like, God, what are you doing in my life? What have we talked about? What is this? Because it's a personal relationship. It's not just about reading about this man, Jesus, on the book. It's about how, you know, does this even translate into my life? Because what he was saying, what Jesus was saying is, I and the Father are one. Me and the Father are connected. And that's the relationship that I have. That's the relationship I feel like Kirby has. I feel like that's the relationship we have as a collective, House Fires, you know. And so for me, keeping my eyes on Jesus is knowing what he's saying over my life, knowing what he's said, and then being disciplined about what that looks like, getting up early in the morning, meditating. You know, you have to be consistent. I think that's the core of what I'm trying to say.
Holy, holy, here with me. Resurrect my eyes to see.
Y'all have been in the worship landscape for years now. Where do you see it going, and how do you see it changing? You kind of mentioned you think things are about to change. What do you think it's going to look like? Or what do you hope it looks like? We can do that too.
Yeah, I mean, think about this. You have the Kardashians, you have Kim, you have Kanye West, you have all these celebrities, right? And these people who are actually just, and the reason why people love them is because their stuff is all out there.
Yeah.
They got no shame. None.
Right.
I would say that most Christians probably walk in the most shame out of everybody. We're trying to cover up. Everything is good. We're all good. Or we can't go to church on Sunday. Or we can't preach on stage. Or we can't sing this worship song. Or we can't have an affair and then go back to our church and keep preaching. Look at all these homies. Carl Lance, look at all these homies. Everybody that was like a tribute to like where we're at in Revelation, and then they did one thing wrong, and then they just canned them because it's based off of performance. And I get that you have to be in a certain place if you want to lead, but like, lead what? You know what I'm saying? More churches, more establishments. Like, we're talking about just throwing, it was all about Revelation. It was all about ideologies and love. And now we have these corporations and brands, and you can't stay in the brand because this group of people don't, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
you'd be surprised what you can get away with out in California that you can't get away with in Alabama just because of the cultural difference. But that can't be like, it can't be the say all because, you know, the main streaming or the main album buying or the main is this type of ideology when that's such a small idea compared to what the rest of the world is encountering. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I think where worship is going, I don't see it lasting long the way that it is. I think people need to understand that God moves in waves. Jesus was here for only 3 years, and we've been doing church the same for how long? Mm. You know what I'm saying? So I think that we have to understand where people are at. We have to meet people more where they're at. That's a deeper conversation. You know, I think a lot of different movements have tried to be, you know, empathetic and show love, but there's a love movement that needs to happen. A love movement, you know, people getting loved on, people like understanding what that really looks like without a militant agenda behind it. Not because you want them to go to heaven, not because they're going to go to hell, but just because I just love this person.
Love like this, love like this.
Well, speaking of new music, I know y'all have a new album coming out. So what can we kind of expect to hear from that? Are we going to hear some of that originality and lyrically vulnerability and stuff?
I mean, yeah, I think so in some ways, bits and pieces here and there. I don't know if we knew we were recording an album when we recorded these songs, which is kind of par for the course with House Fires. We kind of never know when we're doing anything substantial, which is the beauty of it, because what you get is what happened. And there's that kind of posture preserves the moment, you know. So we were like, oh yeah, this might be an album, this might be just like stuff for socials. We didn't know. We were like, at least it's going to be for content for socials. That's what we knew, at least it would be that. So we, you know, just got together. I just had a baby, so I was like, it was my first time leading worship since having a baby, and so I felt really vulnerable.
Yeah.
That, you know, those nights were really, really awesome. We had some great flow moments. I think the most of the vulnerability that Ryan's speaking to probably comes out in those moments, you know? And I mean, you know, and Lean on the Lord comes out Friday, and you listen to the lyrics of that song. I mean, it's exactly what Ryan's talking about now, you know, like things don't make sense. One thing's for sure. I mean, it is like there's a basic message in there, but if you let it actually get into your life, I mean, you don't sing something like that unless you've lived it. And that's been our story. It's been Ryan's story, you know, and it still is our story, you know, that like, this thing that we're a part of, this thing that we believe in, this kingdom, Jesus, God, Holy Spirit, this we've built our lives on this. And we're kind of not going anywhere. And no matter how hard it gets, and it gets hard, it gets dark, and it gets weird and sticky and messy because people are involved. And maybe this album is dipping your toe into some of those other things that we want to dive into. Lean on the Lord, lean on the Lord. Some things don't make sense, one thing's for sure. When I lean on the Lord, lean on the Lord. All right, that was House Fires. Next up, Table Topics. You're listening to Nilia for Yanya. The song is Midnight Sun. All right, we only have a few more minutes left in today's show. We packed a lot in. But before we go, it's always fun to bust out the table topics. These are little kind of icebreaker cards that Cameron has carried with him for years, and they spark interesting conversation. So before we close out the show today, Emily, throw a couple table topics at us.
All right, I got some good ones, I think. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. Okay. Number one, which one is cooler, dinosaurs or dragons?
I mean, I think we covered this last week. As soon as dragons enter the equation, anything becomes not cool. Okay. There's nothing not when a dragon shows up in a TV show or in a book, I'm like, oh gosh, just getting to deep nerd territory. Dinosaurs, on the other hand, sweet. I mean, dinosaurs never not been cool. This has never been an easier question. Dinosaurs are awesome.
It's dragons. Dragons are dinosaurs that spit fire.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
They're an upgrade on dinosaurs. Next question.
Well, so it's like saying wizards are an upgrade on regular people. Yeah, I guess technically.
Are they not?
Big nerds.
Are they
What's cooler, a regular person or a nerdy wizard? I think we know the answer.
I bet I bet you if he turns your head to a goat, you'll think it's the wizard.
Again, with the weird Narnia creatures. It's pretty nerdy. It's just nerd territory. All right, Emily, what do you got?
All right. Would you rather be the funniest or smartest person in the room, and why?
I mean, coming from someone who's usually both, I would say, not in this room, obviously. I'm talking about rooms outside. In this Zoom room, I'm at the bottom of both of those. I would say, I think the funnier, whenever we're hanging out with someone who's super funny, they don't need to be smart. And they can just irritate the smart person. You always have to go funny. Look, if you want to be smarter, you can read a book or look something up. We all have phones in our pockets. We can know whatever we want to know. Like we have collective intelligence now in the form of the internet and our iPhones. Why not be the funny one and keep people entertained? I'm going to go funniest. Derek, what do you think?
I'm going smartest because 9 times out of 10, funny people are really, really smart. So
ooh. There you go.
I'm gonna take the best of both worlds. Okay.
Fair enough. All right, Emily. Well, what do we got next?
If you were left on a deserted island with either your worst enemy or no one at all, which would you choose and why?
I mean, why would you want to be on a desert island? I mean, is this a situation where they're thinking about eating him? They're gonna eat the enemy? Like, why else? Why else? Why would you want your worst enemy on an island? Yeah, it's gotta be nobody, right? Right? Right, Derek?
I'd probably say my worst enemy. I feel like we're doing like the Shannon Sharp Skip okay, Bayless yep. thing right now. Yep. We're on the opposite yep. ends. But like I honestly would take my worst enemy because I feel like eventually I would win them over to where we would figure out how to work together to get off the island.
I'd be like, hey homie, check out this raft I've been making. Just take it out there. There's a hole in it, sucker. You know, you could trap them too in a very elaborate, fun way. All right, Emily, I think we got time for one more. Okay. Dude, check out this raft. It's all made of coconuts. I swear it's safe. I swear. I tested it. You take it out.
Jesse, bro.
Take it out past some breakers. All right, what do you got, Emily? Last one.
Final question. What is the oddest job that you've ever had?
I feel like I've you know, ad nauseum gone through my professional history here. You know, like I said, I worked in the garden department at Big K at one point. I drove a shuttle at one point. I did landscaping. I did power washing. I don't feel like any of them were odd. You know what I mean? Like, it's tough. Like, you know, none of my professional experiences really jumped out to me as like odd or strange. So I don't know. Derek, what do you think?
When I first started doing music full time, I was broke and I used to do music reviews for money. So it's like, I make like a quarter per music review. So I try to do like 100 music reviews in a day, like a quarter, like 25 cent. And I'd have to listen to it was a website called Slice the Pie. It's still, matter of fact, I go and check and see if the website is still popping. It's still, you can still get paid for music reviews today. So that's what I used to do.
No, that's not a bad one. I've done paid music reviews before too. But yeah. All right. Well, on that note, that will do it for Table Topics. Hey, I want to give a big shout out to Ryan and Kirby from House Fires. Thank you guys so much for joining us. And also, hey, if you haven't checked it out already, be sure to check out the Incredible Fall magazine to see conversations with artists like MIA, the cast of The Rings of Power, Tycho, and more. And if you're a Relevant Plus subscriber, make sure you check out our enhanced digital version too. And hey, while you're at the website, check out all the incredible daily content that we're covering at the intersections of faith, life, and culture. And don't forget to sign up for the newsletter and you won't miss anything. On that note, guys, we're going to wrap it up. I'm Jesse Carey.
I'm Emily Brown.
I'm Derek Miner.
All right, everyone. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Relevant Podcast. Check out our features, interviews, and news updates every day at relevantmagazine.com. And make sure to follow Relevant on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest. For more great podcasts, browse the shows on the Relevant Podcast Network, which you can find at our site. And while you're there, don't miss the all-new era of Relevant Magazine. A new issue releases every other month at relevantmagazine.com.
That one feels a little sacrilegious, but it's okay. Let's keep going.
Relevant Podcast Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.